Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's wonderful to be back with you in the chapel of Calvin College. Grace to you and peace. Let us pray for illumination. O Lord Jesus Christ, you have promised that if we ask, we shall receive, and if we seek, we shall find, and if we knock, it shall be opened to us. Now we are asking and seeking and knocking. Please open your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. A few verses from Psalm 22 and then from Mark 15. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you don't answer, and by night, but find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our ancestors trusted, they trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. And now from Mark 15. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Mark tells us here of the darkness that fell over the earth from noon till 3 and of Jesus' terrible lament when the darkness was over. The darkness has a primeval feel to it, a feel of uncreation, as if the earth were somehow collapsing back into chaos. Remember that on earth's first day, in a spectacular burst of power and love, God had said, "Let there be light." God's light was so brilliant that all the stars sang together and the children of God shouted for joy. God is light, says the first epistle of John. In God, there is no darkness at all. But on Friday, from noon till 3, there is no light on Golgotha. It's as if God turns his face away. It's as if God can't bear to watch the madness on Golgotha, and so God hides from it. Everything on Golgotha looks wrong. Everything says Caesar is Lord, not this naked Jew crying out from his cross. A Lord doesn't suffer. He makes other people suffer. But now in the earliest Christian gospel, Mark tells us of the suffering of Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Son of God. He tells us of this howling wilderness event, out in the darkness, away from the light of God. Jesus wasn't crucified between two candles on an altar, said Jürgen Moltmann, but between two thieves in the place of the skull. The darkness tells us that everything here is chaos and that the whole earth is groaning under the weight of it. The narrative reminds me of something that I once heard from Denise Ackerman, a theologian from South Africa, who is an expert on the wickedness of the apartheid years in South Africa. She told of the days when the Truth and Reconciliation Commission listened to victims. Many of the victims had been stabbed or raped or run out of their houses. A number of them had lost a loved one. Some of the victims told about their suffering in kind of a business-like way, maybe because they were afraid to let their emotions get anywhere near their story. But others sat silently in front of the commission and rocked. They just rocked. And then they rocked some more. And they made a sound that she said was like keening. It was the sound that an animal makes when it's wounded. Rocking and keening and saying nothing. Well, lament is the language that suffering people use when they recover their voice. And Psalms are the language we believers use when we need a voice that's different from our own. Mark's gospel that tells us that Jesus suffered through the darkness from noon until 3 and then cried out with a loud voice, Lama sabachthani, Eloi, Eloi, Lama sabachthani, why have you forsaken me? Jesus recovered his voice after a season of darkness and took upon his lips not his own words, but words from Psalm 22. And of course, these words have caused centuries of consternation. How do we take them? What do we make of them? What do we do with the ghastly possibilities they suggest, maybe of trouble inside the Holy Trinity or of disillusionment in the mind of Jesus? Could the primeval chaos spread even into the mind and life of God, alienating the Father and the Son for the first time in all the endless centuries of eternity? Grotesque possibilities, unthinkable possibilities. The scene on Golgotha tells us how fearful atonement is even for the Lord. All his securities had been stripped away, including his clothing. Mark tells us that priests had plotted against him, that Judas had betrayed him, that three disciples fell asleep on him, that the witnesses lied about him, and that Peter denied him. Each was a stake in his heart long before the Romans pounded them through his wrists and feet. Mark tells us that Pilate flogged him and that soldiers mocked him. And when the soldiers got tired of belting him and mocking him, finally they led him away to his cross. Where their treatment of Jesus is concerned, crucifixion is just a way of finishing it off. My God, why have you forsaken me? The words have loneliness in them. The words have maybe something more horrible than that, maybe even a note of astonishment in Jesus' words, as if he never expected the abyss to be this deep. And yet, in our Savior's darkness and in his lament, we find our consolation. These terrible words belong not to a disaster, but to the gospel. We find gospel consolation in Jesus' suffering because he was bearing our griefs and carrying our sorrows. He was bearing them when he shouted at heaven. He was carrying them when he beat at the heart of God. And so across the world, in this Holy Week, Jesus will comfort his followers, every abandoned child, every battered spouse, every humiliated adolescent, every derelict who cries out to God, and any of us who has reason to think we may be God forsaken. His words are for us. All of us may take consolation that our Lord has been there ahead of us. He leads us into no rooms in which he has not lived. Someone once said that if God's love were available only to those who were sure of what God was up to, most of us would be priced out of the market. We're short on answers to suffering. We don't understand a lot of what happens in this world, and we don't know exactly how Jesus Christ the righteous defeated death by dying. But we do know this: we have a suffering Lord, Jesus Christ the righteous, who has made atonement for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so on Friday of this week, we will cling to him. We will follow him to Golgotha, and we will cling to him there, even as the world grows dark and everything feels as if it's collapsing back into chaos. Let us pray to God. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us sinners. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us sinners and grant us your peace. Amen.